This podcast of this Swain event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Deep down the middle, he's got his man, and he's gone! Jason Swain, touchdown!
It's time for the Swain event.
Guess what time it is, my time. You can check your iPhone, better say it's our time.
With your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Give me two pounds and a Rick Flair.
SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. One day till we get 2019. That means that 2018 is almost over. My goodness, where has the year gone? If I had to put a percentage on the amount of 2018 and it's already gone, I mean, the only percentage I have is 98%. No, not 98%, because that was the year, golly. 95%. The year is 95% gone. But we're here on New Year's Eve celebrating. Got plenty to talk about in the world of sports, college, pro. Yesterday was Black Sunday, team firing head coaches. Yesterday also was week 17 where the, sorry Ben, say this, but teams made their final push to get to the playoffs and several teams did not make it, while other teams did. And college game, Mark Richt surprising everyone, retiring. And then Miami surprising people more than people were surprised by Mark Richt. Miami surprised people even more by hiring a coach in less than 24 hours. And Manny Diaz. What? While that was happening, Tennessee fans over the last couple weeks, hey, we've had jokes. We've made jokes about Tennessee taking forever to hire offense coordinator. So which one would you rather have? Tennessee fans, would you rather take your time and it'd be a little bit longer, or would you rather replace a coach like Miami replaced a coach? Ben McKee, Jason Swain here with you. Swain Events, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant. Ben, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, my friend. It's good to be back. I had a week off, refreshed. A big football weekend.
Yeah.
Both, you had the college football playoffs. You had some big bowl games. South Carolina being shut out by Virginia. 28-0.
Goodness. You kidding me? And playoffs?
Playoffs. Yeah,
goodness.
And then you had Florida stomping Michigan. Obviously, the playoff games were as expected. And then NFL was not kind to me yesterday. Steelers did not get help from the Browns. So forget you, Baker Mayfield, the most overrated rookie quarterback out there.
You hate Baker now?
Miles Garrett, Derek Barnett is still better than you. Nick Chubb, you still stink. I hate the Browns. No, but realistically, the Steelers do not deserve to be in the playoffs. They never should have lost to the Broncos, lost to the Chargers, lost to the Raiders, lost to the Saints, tied the Browns earlier in the year, and given up 42 points to the Chiefs earlier in the year. So the Steelers did not deserve to be in the playoffs, but still frustrating because in that Cleveland-Baltimore game, you did have Lamar Jackson fumble at the goal line, and the Browns have a clear recovery and return it 99 yards for a touchdown. But in the midst of the Browns running it back, the refs blow the play dead, and they ruled a touchdown. And then they had to go back and rule a fumble, so that took 7 points off the board. The Browns missed a kick going into halftime. So very frustrating, but Steelers never should have been in that place in the first time.
Sorry, Ben. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Question, though. Would you rather be a Miami fan or Tennessee fan as far as dealing with a coaching hire? Would you rather have your program replace an important position like the head coach, coordinator, whatever, in less than 24 hours? Or would you rather it drag on and drag on like we're experiencing right now with Tennessee? Even if it means going into the new year, going through signing day, early signing day, maybe you get your guy. I don't know. But when Miami made those moves yesterday, it made me kind of sit back as a Tennessee fan and go, huh. I mean, people wanted this hire to be made, but I don't know if I want it. I would want the hire to be made that fast. Which one would you pick, Ben?
To me, it doesn't matter, and I've said this all along. It doesn't matter if you would have hired an offensive coordinator the Tuesday morning after that Monday that Tyson Helton took the Western Kentucky job. It doesn't matter to me if Tennessee announces the hire Tuesday or Wednesday of this week following the conclusion of the NFL season. Just hire the right guy. And for Miami, Manny Diaz was the only bright spot with that football team this season. There's a lot of push behind the scenes to get Mark Richt fired and hire him, but he did take off for the Temple job. So I don't look at Miami sideways for really rushing to hire Manny Diaz. Maybe take a day or two to vet all possible candidates, but I think the Manny Diaz hire is a good one, similar to Mario Cristobal to me, in the sense of is not necessarily a sexy hire, but he might be the right guy for the job. The team that I feel bad for right now is Temple, because Manny Diaz was the coach there for a whopping 18 days. But who I really feel bad for is the players. I mean, National Signing Day was 2 weeks ago, and they signed 17 guys that signed up for Manny Diaz. Those guys should be allowed to be let out of their national letter of intent ASAP.
Miami, too. Miami should be – those guys should be allowed to be let go as well, because they thought they were going to get Mark Richt. So I think Temple and Miami players should be let out of their LOI. Manny Diaz may be the guy, but you don't even talk to Dino Babers.
Yeah, that's weird.
You don't even talk to Lane Kiffin. I mean, not even text, not even a, hey, what you doing? K, BRB, TTYL, not even that.
Are you up text at 2 in the morning?
Nothing. Not even a emoji. Nothing. Nothing if you're Miami. You're not going to send any type of communication to Dino Babers or Lane Kiffin. Any of it? That don't make sense to me. It just doesn't. It does not make much sense to me. But, hey, kudos to Mark Richt, because he did the right way. And I think this is a time in college football where doing it the right way is not good enough. At Georgia, he lost it at Georgia, doing it the right way. At Miami, it just never materialized, doing it the right way. And he lost it. That it he had in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, he won the SEC championship there in 05 at Georgia. Whatever he was doing, he lost it. And I'm a huge Mark Richt fan, but it's hard to sit here and not admit that.
Yeah, it reminds me of Steve Spurrier's final year at South Carolina, to where he just lost it. And you hear Rick Barnes talk about that a lot, in the sense of, I still have this strong passion to coach and be around a team and be around these guys and develop these guys and watch Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams blossom into these stars of college basketball and potential NBA draft picks. But the moment I lose that passion to be in the gym every single day is the day I have to retire. And Steve Spurrier went through that and didn't necessarily handle it the best way. And Mark Richt appears to have gone through that, because just, I mean, 11 months ago, Miami was a game away from going undefeated and potentially going to the ACC championship game. Or I believe they did play in the ACC championship game last year, but if they finished the regular season undefeated, or they made it to the championship game undefeated, something along those lines, things were very bright. It felt like Miami was somewhat back. And then a year later, they're having to look for a new football coach after a miserable season. And like you said, they did rush to hire Manny Diaz when they didn't give Dino Babers, Lane Kiffin, Matt Campbell, any of those guys a call. It's kind of funky. But Mark Richt definitely lost his flame. His flame went out in terms of wanting to coach.
Yeah, that's surprising. Surprising that Mark Richt did that in 2017. They went 10-3 in the regular season. They lost the Orange Bowl, but they went to the Orange Bowl. They only lost one game in the ACC. And I thought Mark Richt, it would take him 2-3 years, and he would build a powerhouse down there with that recruiting. I thought that he would dominate recruiting with Florida's issues. It wasn't like they had Urban Meyer down there, or even Ron Zook, because Ron Zook did a good job recruiting. Florida State had some transition that they had to deal with. I thought Mark Richt would clean up in recruiting.
And there for a while he was, and this is bad news for Tennessee, in the sense of Mark Richt is no longer going to be stealing recruits away from Florida. And I don't know how Manny Diaz is as a recruiter. He may come in and be a better recruiter. But on the outside looking in, this is bad news for Tennessee long term, in the sense of there's just one less school that prospects in the state of Florida can go to rather than Florida.
Miami, there in 2017, won every game and lost the last three. They lost the last regular season game to Pittsburgh. They lost in the ACC championship game to Clemson. And then they lost to Wisconsin in the ball game in the Orange Bowl. So that was the year that you were referring to, where Miami looked like they were really turning the corner. Surprising Mark Richt stepping away. I think, for me, even more surprising that Miami replaced him in less than 24 hours. Tennessee still needs an offense coordinator, and the Swain event Christmas tree is still up. We're not taking it down until Tennessee hires an offense coordinator. So don't ask me why it's New Year's and we have a Christmas tree up. That's the reason why. That's the reason. We are waiting on Jeremy Pruitt to hire an offense coordinator. You know what? I don't mind the Christmas tree being up anyways. It's pretty.
I took mine down yesterday.
It's pretty.
It was sad.
It's pretty, so I don't mind keeping mine up until Tennessee hires an offense coordinator. There's not really new news, but there's news that many people are you're talking about it. So we'll talk about it with you. Coming up next, Swain Event.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain Event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials for the fall. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the smokehouse stew, barbecue cheddar meatloaf, or the smoked turkey and dressing, which includes sliced smoked turkey and cornbread dressing paired with sauteed Brussels sprouts, mashed potatoes, and a side of turkey gravy. While Dead End offers a different specialty meal each day, you can get their hillbilly chili every day. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The fall flavor search is over.
Join the Swain event at Dead End Barbecue on Wednesday, February 6th, to celebrate the Vols' victories on the recruiting trail. Enjoy a special barbecue breakfast and listen to Jason Swain and the guys break down each signee during this special edition of the Swain event live from Dead End Barbecue. They will be giving away t-shirts and other awesome items. Former players will be on hand as well as great guests. What better way to celebrate the 2019 signing class than enjoying some delicious barbecue and hanging out with the Swain event? Spend National Signing Day with the Swain event and Dead End Barbecue.
Do you want a custom-themed tumbler or bottle to show off your team spirit every day of the week? Well, look no further than Game Time Sidekicks. Every design has you, the fan, in mind. Their tumblers and bottles are double-walled, vacuum-insulated stainless steel, and their quality is second to none in the market. From stainless steel sippy cups to tumblers and sports bottles, Game Time Sidekicks offers something for the fan of all ages to rep their team with. They have many different logo options, so fans will have something they are proud to carry around all the time. Use promo code SWAIN at checkout to get 20% off of your entire purchase at GameTimeSidekicks.com. They also offer $5 flat rate shipping. Be sure to check out the Game Time Workshop on the website and customize your tumbler to make it one of a kind with things like your nickname, number, or initials. Game Time Sidekicks. Show your colors and carry your team.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate? If so, then call me, Jennifer Morris, with Keller Williams Realty. I take a no-nonsense approach to the real estate transaction. No fluff, just facts. Having lived and worked in the Knoxville area for 19 years, I am very familiar with the local real estate landscape and am ready to help you get the most money for your property with the least amount of hassle in the shortest amount of time. No one likes for their home to sit on the market for months at a time. If a straightforward approach to your real estate needs is what you prefer, then give me a call. Jennifer Morris with Keller Williams Realty at 865-694-5904 or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
Mike Campbell here on Twitter says, Diaz's departure from Temple makes Kiffin's one and done with the Vols seem like a 10-year term.
I feel bad for Temple fans. I mean, because Jeff Collins left to go take the Georgia Tech job. They turn around and hire Manny Diaz, and I believe that was a fairly quick coaching search as well, 2 or 3 days, maybe a week at most, and then 17, 18 days later, after National Signing Day, he turns around and leaves. But then again, does Temple have fans? Or is it like a...
Yeah, I mean, they do. They are a historically a basketball school, but they've had more success in football than in basketball as of late. Kind of like Tennessee. But I don't know if I feel bad for the kids. I guess I do, because they thought they were getting a really, 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 really good defensive coordinator, but that's kind of been a stepping stone job for a while now. I mean, Matt Rhule, Jeff Collins, and
Manny Diaz, even though he didn't coach a game.
How long was he there, like 17 days, you say?
17 or 18, one of the two.
Goodness gracious. But the NCAA must let those players who signed a letter of intent early to let them go, as well as the players at Miami. It's just only fair. But we are talking about the NCAA, though.
Yes, and to put into perspective, Manny Diaz's short tenure at Temple. He was the Temple head coach for 2 weeks, and we are on week 5 of looking for an offensive coordinator in Knoxville.
Hey, whatever, man. As long as we find the right guy, I don't really care. Speaking of offensive coordinator, so I got these messages yesterday from folks, and it appeared like it was new information, but it really wasn't. It was the fact that Oklahoma State officially put out that Tennessee had offered Mike Yurkich the offense coordinator job. And if you listen to this program for the entirety of the coaching search, and if you listen carefully, when Chris Lowe was on the program, he said that Mike Yurkich was telling people around that program that he wasn't leaving. So, he wouldn't be telling them he wasn't leaving if it was not a team trying to come after him and get him. So, Tennessee had offered him weeks ago and offered him some nice change. About $600,000 or $700,000 more than what he's making at Oklahoma State. You do the math.
That's a lot of money.
And he said no. Now what I've heard is something with the years or the buyout money or whatever was holding everything up. Tennessee, you look at this current staff, and everyone is on like 1 or 2 year deals. Remember, Butch Jones, when he brought his staff in, guys were getting 3 year deals. Butch got extended. This staff did not get those years like the previous staff. From what I've heard, Mike Yurkich wanted, you know, a certain amount of years, and that was a holdup. As of yesterday, he is more than likely going to Ohio State. It's also what I heard. So if he goes to Ohio State and you wanted him and you didn't get the deal done for whatever reason, that's not good. That's an L. You wanted your guy. You identified your guy. Make the deal happen. If he wants 3 years...
If he wants three years, you give it to him in a heartbeat. It's not like he's asking for a sixth or seventh or eighth year.
I mean, three is pretty standard.
Well, considering Tennessee is about to have its, what, fourth, fifth offense coordinator in 5 years, fourth offense coordinator in 4 years, I'm fine with giving an offensive coordinator a three-year contract.
Well, Pruitt will be on the second year. Let's say Pruitt bombs out in his third year. You have to pay that coordinator an extra year.
Yeah, see, for me, that just doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter in a large way to me because Tennessee can afford to pay an offensive coordinator in that sense.
Correct, but Tennessee has been paying coaches not to coach here for a very, very long time.
I understand.
So if you're Tennessee, I understand want to be careful. But on the other hand, you have identified your guy. You feel confident with your head coach. You know the missing piece is the offensive coordinator. / a head coach of the offense. If you feel like you have that with Yurkich, you give him that 3 years. In my opinion, I agree with you. You give him those 3 years, but that I think that's the hangup. What's the difference between Tennessee and Ohio State as far as money? You had the Ohio State job wasn't open then. Now, maybe in the back channels, he knew it was going to open up. Maybe he knew already that Urban Meyer was going to step down because coaches, they know things way earlier than everyone else. You would be amazed. They know who's getting fired. They know what's happening weeks and weeks and weeks in advance. So maybe Mike Yurkic knew about Urban Meyer stepping down and knew that Ron Day was going to come after him. And that's why he told Tennessee no thank you at the time. I don't know. But Tennessee had the first crack. Tennessee had the first crack at him and offered him more money than they offered Tyson Helton, or was paying Tyson Helton, had a chance to get him. And it looks like anything can change. The coaching searches are fluid. Manny Diaz is Exhibit A, okay? Manny Diaz is Exhibit A. These things are fluid. Very fluid. But let's say it's 95% that Mike Yurkic is going to Ohio State. Now, the NFL season is over. Everyone's waiting on that. Everyone just automatically assumes that Tennessee is going to go and hire Steve Sarkisian. And it's just not any guarantee that that's going to happen. Now, there's a connection between Pruitt and Steve Sarkisian because they both were at Alabama. Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian are cool. We know Pruitt and Lane Kiffin are cool. We know that Lane Kiffin advised Pruitt to talk to Kendall Browse. We understand that. Pruitt has a lot of respect for Lane Kiffin when it comes to coordinating offense. He values his opinion in a huge way. So if you put the dots together and connect the dots, yes, Pruitt, Steve Sarkisian, that seems like that's going to be something that happens, but it hasn't happened yet. No one's getting hired as of 7:27 on a Monday. Now, I remember weeks and weeks and weeks ago, before Steve Sarkisian's name was really out there, we did mention that on the show as a possibility because we connect the dots the same way that people are doing now. You just connected the dot. That's why you have Neil Brown's name thrown in there, too, a couple weeks ago, because of his connection with Todd Watson, who was on the Neil Brown staff at Troy 2 years ago. So we're still not close to being done. We're still not 95% done. Nowhere close to that. From my understanding, we have not gotten serious with Matt Canada or even talked to him. I think there's something there. We had on Matt Muscona last Friday, and remember, Matt covers Baton Rouge. He covers LSU. Matt Canada was at LSU. That marriage did not last long. It did not end well. Matt Canada has been at several different schools, either a year or 2 years. He hasn't been there long. So that makes you wonder, what's going on there? Is it Matt Canada? Is it Matt Canada? It's fair to say that maybe it is.
It looks like it is.
Maybe. Maybe. 865-255-03, B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline.
Well, we will know something about Mike Yurkic, the Oklahoma State offensive coordinator, today. Or maybe not today, but possibly later tonight. Probably tomorrow, because Oklahoma State plays in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl today at 3:45 against Missouri. So I imagine that once their bowl game concludes, he'll either come out and say, okay, I'm staying at Oklahoma State, or tonight, tomorrow around lunch, I bet it's announced that, okay, he's going to Ohio State. Maybe something happens and he comes to Tennessee. So at least we'll know here soon about what he is going to do.
I don't think he's staying.
I think he's going to Ohio State.
I think he's leaving. I think he's leaving to go somewhere, because here on pistolsfiringblog.com, Gundy has a quote. Gundy explains why Yurkic has stayed for so long, but also why he might move on. Gundy says, I'm the easiest guy in the country to work for. That's why coaches stay. They're very well paid. We work normal hours. We don't overwork. It's a family organization. Guys take care of the business. I don't micromanage them, so they stay. We always have coaches leave to move up. Yurkic is a guy whose name has been out there for the last 3 years. Interesting how fans, people abuse what? I don't know what this typer is talking about here. But Mike Gundy is right. Mike Gundy does not work like the Pruitt staff. They don't work till 11 p.m. in the morning. They don't sign in at the complex at 7 a.m., 6:30, and then stay all the way to 11 p.m. They don't. Mike Gundy has it very good there. He does work normal hours. He does not micromanage. He is correct. Gundy also says that he does not expect Ohio State to be able to pay like some of these other big schools will be able to, the Tennessees and the Ohio States of the world. I know it sounds a little crazy because they got that T-Boone Pickens money, but this is what Mike Gundy says. So I expect him to leave.
Well, do you think that Pruitt's demands as a head coach and the hours that Tennessee's coaches work, do you think that's a turnoff for Mike Yurich?
A turnoff because
do you think that would maybe scare him away?
Because of Pruitt?
Mm-hmm. And the hours that these coaches work?
I don't know. I think if there was a turnoff, it would be what Tyson Helton is probably saying out here in the streets.
There was evidence of micromanaging this past season.
Yeah, I mean, that would probably be a bigger turnoff than anything. But here's Mike Gundy again, and then we'll take a break. Hopefully this is worded correctly here on this blog. It says, we would love to keep him here. We're not going to be able to pay what other schools will potentially offer him. So if he ever gets a run to be a coordinator at all the schools that are interested in him, or maybe move on to the NFL, that's probably going to be his next move versus some of the other head coaching jobs you get at levels that you are paid a third or fourth of what these guys are making as coordinators. So I think he's anticipating Mike Yurich leaving because of the big money that's going to come his way. 865-255-03. Be right back.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, and Simplico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Beatty Chevrolet is celebrating 85 years of low prices. And during Truck Month, choose from over 400 trucks and SUVs, all deeply discounted. Like a new Silverado, now 25% off. A new Equinox, now 20% off. And a certified pre-owned 15 Equinox or Terrain, now $16,995. Plus, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life.
Big selection and even bigger savings. That's why it's better at Beatty Chevrolet.
Number 232 savings off NSRV, including our dealer savings and manufacturer incentives with approved credit list finance through GM. Offer expires 831.
2018.
When you're out running around shopping for all your holiday gatherings, don't forget to grab the Mrs. Grissom's. Mrs. Grissom's salads and cheese spreads are perfect when you need a delicious, easy meal and ready-to-eat containers the whole crowd will enjoy, like the select old-fashioned pimento cheese or cranberry pecan chicken salad or the classic Mrs. Grissom's ham salad. Select the best. Select Mrs. Grissom's. Find recipe ideas and coupons at MrsGrissom's.com.
I'm Vince Moore, wide receiver, VFL 1991, and you're listening to the Swain Event.
Around the SEC, powered by 42nd Street Marketing, your game-winning play call for design, marketing, and branding.
Around the SEC is brought to you by 42nd Street Design, 42SD.com. They do a great job of print design, logo design, everything you need marketing-wise. Can't wait for National Signing Day at Dead End Barbecue on February the 6th. And we'll have some different things there. And you will see 42nd Street's design and their work if you are in attendance. Call Mike at 865-382-7007. If you need any marketing or branding upgrades, 2019 is around the corner. Literally, it's tomorrow. If you want to do some upgrades to your business, big business, small business, in the branding field, you need to call 42nd Street. There's no question about it. That's what we did early in the year, and it's been the best decision that we've made in a very, very long time. So I encourage you to do the same thing. Around the SEC, Ben, what do we have today?
We have a lot of different things to talk about today because there's a lot going on in football and basketball and coaches being hired and off the field. The biggest news of the weekend was that Matt Luke, the head coach at Ole Miss, hired Rich Rodriguez to be his offensive coordinator, and what I think is an interesting move because not only is Matt Luke bringing in Rich Rodriguez, who has won Coach of the Year in two different leagues, but he also hired Mike McIntyre as defensive coordinator, former Colorado coach, former National Coach of the Year earlier this month, and so that's a strong three-headed monster between Matt Luke, who can recruit his butt off at Ole Miss, has a passion for Ole Miss, and then Rich Rodriguez as an offensive coordinator, Mike McIntyre as a defensive coordinator. I really like that for Ole Miss, and Rich Rodriguez will have a three-year deal.
Three-year deal. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the standard, all right? And that's what I was getting ready to say. That's why I was sitting here throwing up three. I wasn't being like Lane Kiffin in my FAU, photo. 3 years deal. It's pretty standard. That's what Rich Rod is going to get. But you look at Matt Luke, and I remember Matt Luke talking about his days working for Coach Cut, his days working for Coach Former, and how he got a chance to learn from those coaches. And one thing I know he learned from Coach Former is that you better hire some dudes who are better than you. And that's what he did. He went out, he hired Mike McIntyre to control the defense. He doesn't have to worry about the defense. And now Rich Rod. So you've hired two head coaches.
That's beautiful.
That's a great, great, great move by Matt Luke.
It really is. And Matt Luke doesn't appear to be a micromanager, which is what I believe is the most important part as a head coach. And if he can just let McIntyre work on the defense, which that Ole Miss defense needs a lot of work, and then you lost Phil Longo. I forget which job he took. And then you add Rich Rod. That's a really good three-headed monster, in my opinion. On the football field, since you all spoke on Friday morning, you and Brad, Auburn destroyed Purdue 63-14. I mean, Purdue didn't stand a chance. I mean, you could just tell from within the first 3-5 minutes of the game that things were going to escalate quickly for Purdue. I mentioned it earlier, Florida blew out Michigan 41-15. Virginia shut out South Carolina 28-0. Just, I believe it was a week ago, Will Muschamp was essentially guaranteeing that he would be in the playoffs here in a couple years. Doesn't look so great now, Bob. Alabama taking care of business against Oklahoma, 45-34. And then today you have Missouri and Oklahoma State at 3:45 in the Liberty Bowl. And then NC State, Texas A&M. I forget which bowl game they're playing in, but they play at 7:30 tonight. It should be an interesting football game. I expect Texas A&M and Missouri to handle business today, although Missouri's defense going up against Oklahoma State's offense will be an interesting matchup for sure. And then on the basketball court, you had a couple of big games. You had Mississippi State blow out BYU 103-81. And then the big game in basketball over the weekend in the SEC was Kentucky beating Louisville 71-58. And all of a sudden, after a big win over North Carolina, after a big road win over Louisville, it appears Kentucky has gotten things back on track. And then I'll mention this. Tennessee had a basketball game on Saturday, taking care of business against Tennessee Tech 96-53. Tennessee's essentially last game of non-conference play. They still play West Virginia in a couple months, but they wrapped up non-conference play with a 96-53 win over Tennessee Tech to finish 11-1, and they played Georgia on Saturday to begin SEC play. Grant Williams had 25 points. Admiral Schofield had 16. Jordan Bone, 16. And John Fulkerson bringing the funk, 15 points on 6-7 shooting. So really good basketball game for Tennessee on Saturday.
Yeah, Folky was – he was dunking on folks, man, all game long. He was balling.
He and Eve Pons, I couldn't tell who was the more athletic basketball player on Saturday.
Yeah, right. NC State, Texas A&M are playing in the Gator Bowl tonight at 7:30. Yeah. Folky, Eve Pons, man, they – athleticism right there. It's even. It's Eves, Folky, and Zion Williamson, man. You can't tell the difference between any of them.
You can't. You really can't. I mean, it is just – it's kind of mind-boggling. I didn't know what to do when John Fulkerson postered that poor Tennessee Tech player. And it wasn't, like, the greatest poster. But for John Fulkerson, that was 100% a poster that we can claim.
You mentioned Alabama, which everyone believes that these four teams did not deserve to be in the college football playoff. And I'm sorry, I don't necessarily agree. I think the four teams earned a right to be there based on what they did in the regular season. You look at Georgia and go, yes, Georgia would have been a better game than Notre Dame. But Georgia didn't handle business. They didn't handle business. They did not. They did not deserve to be in there. Now, are they one of the best four teams? Yes. But they did not handle business. They lost twice, and Notre Dame didn't lose any playing an ACC schedule. The problem is, all these other teams are playing conference championship games, and Notre Dame is not. And I do agree with everyone else in the fact that it's time for Notre Dame to really join a conference, play a championship game, a conference championship game, because I'm tired of them going to the postseason, New York Six Bowls, playoff games, and getting embarrassed. I'm not talking about just by 7, 14 points. The average margin of defeat in these big-time bowl games has been over 3 touchdowns. That's what I'm tired of. I'm tired of Notre Dame getting blown out.
Yeah, I view things a little bit differently in the sense of, yes, I agree with you, Notre Dame should be playing in a conference championship game, or at least I want to see them playing in a conference championship game. I want to see Notre Dame in a conference in general, but I don't think that's the reason that Notre Dame got blown out on Saturday, because you look at their schedule, Notre Dame could have lost to Clemson 73-0, 100-0, and they still would have deserved to be in the playoffs because they beat Michigan, they beat Stanford, they played at Virginia Tech, they played a solid Pittsburgh team, they beat a Northwestern team that won its division and played in the Big Ten championship game on the road, they beat down a Florida State team, and they won at USC. And I get it. USC, Stanford, Florida State, they're not what they usually are. But it's not, they're not playing a weak schedule. They're playing a schedule that is better than a lot of teams and a lot of conferences.
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying playing a conference and conference championship game, because if they would have, they would have played Clemson and they would have gotten beat down. And in that defeat, there's no way the voters would have put them in to play Clemson again. That would be them playing twice in a row.
So I'm assuming if you could put Notre Dame in a conference, you would put them in the ACC, even though geographically they're better Big Ten fit. And what I would say to that is,
they're playing ACC schedule anyways.
I understand that. Well, in basketball they are. In football, it's majority ACC. But my point being is that even if you put them in the Big Ten, which is a better geographical fit, they would have played Northwestern in the championship game and won, which is a team that they did win and beat earlier in the season. So, again, I want to see Notre Dame in a conference, but I don't think that's that should be the lasting remark or the one thought on Notre Dame leaving that football game. I think, if anything, it was an indication that maybe we don't need to move to an 18 playoff.
I didn't say anything about 18 playoff. No. Everybody else played in a conference championship game except for Notre Dame. Notre Dame, majority of their games were teams from the ACC. Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, you play Florida State, you play Syracuse. Play in a conference championship game. And then if you win, okay, cool. But here we go again with Notre Dame getting to the big show and getting blown out. Not blown out because, just had a bad day, just the timing was off, had 3 or 4 turnovers. It was just a bad day. No, I mean physically dominated. So much that you make their head coach make stupid comments like the one Brian Kelly made when he was asked about the talent gap. I don't think there's a overwhelming difference in terms of talent. So what you trying to say, man? So you just said that you got outcoached. Brian Kelly, which one is it?
Yeah, that was not a good comment.
Brian Kelly, which one is it, brother? Either there is an overwhelming difference between talent or you got outcoached. Which one is it?
There is an overwhelming gap in talent.
It was an overwhelming gap in talent. Exactly. I'm just tired of seeing Notre Dame play on a big stage.
Yeah, I am too.
I don't want to see them play on a big stage again. I've had enough. Beat down by LSU a couple years ago when I was playing in the Sugar Bowl when Jamarcus Russell was the quarterback. I mean, embarrassed. Alabama in 2012, the game was over in the first quarter. The game was really, in my opinion, over in the first quarter against Clemson. If you ask me.
It was.
All right, let's get to the phones. Let's bring in Vol Nation. Vol Nation, good morning.
Hey, family, how y'all doing now?
What's up?
Hey, man. I agree with you, man. I was chatting it up. I included you with a particular person from a Clemson station that I kind of go head up. And they're good people, so we just go back and forth a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that was the big thing for me. It was like, I didn't believe that Notre Dame deserved to be there. That's just my personal belief. And that was one of the main reasons, because they didn't they play in, quote unquote, the ACC kind of, so Clemson and them, play a lot of the same teams.
Hey, Vol Nation, your background.
My bad. I thought that was down. Okay. But they played, quote unquote, some of the same teams, but in that same instance, because they don't play a conference championship, there's a buildup. That first 6 games, you're working out some kinks, second 6 games, you try to get better, trying to peak at the right time. And then if you go on and take care of business, now you're playing in a conference championship. That's a big stage. You prove yourself at that moment in time, and then you move on to that next level. And they didn't do that. They played 12 games, they play a decent schedule and things of that nature. But you can tell they were not ready and not prepared for that time. And, to me, like I said, just winning 12 games isn't enough. You ask UCF. UCF won 12 games. That wasn't enough. But they put Notre Dame in there. And, like I said, it was so lopsided. It was so bad. It was just bad football. And I felt bad for Clemson and for the people watching, because it didn't, build up and sustain the expectation because – I truly believe because they didn't play that, they should have never been there, and Georgia probably should have been there. Because like you said, if they had played the championship, what would have happened? They would have lost, and then they would have put Georgia in that game. Georgia's just a much better football program because the way the system is set up, they're one of the four best teams. So when you sit there and you've got five major conferences and you only got four slots, and but you're trying to throw out this criteria like championships matter and things of that nature, not so much because you just put a team in there that didn't play one.
Vol Nation, I look at Notre Dame's schedule, and, I mean, their schedule is not easy or bad. I mean, it's not Notre Dame's fault that Florida State is trash. It's not Notre Dame's fault that USC had a down year.
Right.
You know, you look at Virginia Tech and, you know, their team that's been, you know, really, really good over the last couple of years, had a really good finish to their season last year. You know, Stanford there with one of the best coaches in college football. I mean, I can't really crap on the schedule. I thought they handled business in the regular season. My only gripe is that, man, they don't play in a conference championship game.
Right. Well, I got a question, though. But look, didn't they say they wanted the four best teams? That's what the way they have this set up right now.
Yeah.
They want the four best teams.
Yeah, correct.
Do you believe that Notre Dame is one of the four best teams?
No. No.
Then everything else is almost irrelevant.
But you can't put a two-loss Georgia team in that didn't win its conference over a 12-0 football team.
I got you. But what I'm saying is the way they have the system set up with only four teams getting in, they're saying we want the four best teams that are playing football at this point in time.
Correct.
That's what they're saying.
Correct.
And so because of that, to me, two losses – is irrelevant because the thing is if you put Georgia in that slot and they had a plus one and Georgia had to play Notre Dame, who do you think would have won that football game?
Oh, it would have been Georgia, and it would have been ugly. And that's why I agree with you, Vol Nation, on this point, is that Notre Dame was not one of the four best teams. And even with the two losses, one being to Alabama, the other being to LSU on the road, even with Georgia's two losses, they were still a better team than Notre Dame, and that's why the playoff committee was put together of people that knew football, that comprised of coaches, ADs, and folks that could be able to identify who were the best four teams. And I'm sorry, even with Georgia's two losses, they're still better football team than Notre Dame. But I understand what Ben's saying too. It's like, well, you know, they lost two games. You can't do that. Well, if your rules are we're looking for the four best teams, then you can do it. I think
the better argument to replace Notre Dame would be Ohio State, as much as I say it. 12-1 conference champs. I think that would be a more realistic choice over Notre Dame, just because you can't put a two-loss team that didn't win its conference in the playoff as it currently sits, in my opinion.
If you say the goal of the playoff is to put the four best teams in, when you start saying, well, you can't put a two-loss team, then when you start doing that, means you're not following your own guidelines. If your own guidelines is we're looking for the four best teams, then you're looking for the four best teams, and record may not matter.
Right. But see, the other way, what you're doing is you're trying to utilize a criteria based on a 6 or 8 team playoff, but you're using it on a different system of only four teams, and you can't do that. Because you only are looking for the four best teams, then you have to look for the four best teams regardless of record. And then compared to if you had 6 or 8 teams, then you can sit there and say, well, this person won a conference championship, they're 12-1, they did, and you got all these other factors. But those factors become irrelevant when you kind of eliminate all those factors by saying, I just need the four best teams. And when you look at it, you've got Alabama, you got Georgia, you got Oklahoma, and then, of course, you've got Clemson.
Yep.
That's it. You know, and the rest of it, like I said, it becomes irrelevant because of what you're basically stating in your criteria.
Here's a slippery slope, though, Vol Nation. You know, Georgia with two losses, and we can easily say they are one of the four best teams. You're opening yourself up to saying, okay, what about next year when a team loses three games and at the end of the season, they are one of the four best teams?
Well, look at it. Now, once again, conference championship. Georgia made it to the conference championship game.
Correct.
They just lost. to the number one team in the country.
You know what I'm talking about? To the best team in the country, yeah.
Right, right.
And they lost to them.
Right, and so that's a weight. I mean, it's not like they were just sitting at home chilling. You know what I'm talking about? They were actually in the championship game and had a chance to win.
Yeah.
You know?
Should have
and
won.
So if I looked at that and I'm looking at these other teams, and let's say they played in the championship game, but they lost, but it was close. That's a part of my criteria.
Yeah.
I'm like, they made it to the dance.
Yeah.
It was a pretty close game, you know what I'm saying? And is that team, even though they lost to that team, and it happened to be the best team in the country, and they were playing it close, are they better than these other teams or this particular team that I'm thinking about putting in over them? Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense, Vol Nation. And I appreciate the phone call, man, because we're up against the top of the hour. I'm not going to sit here and say Notre Dame should not have been in. I look at this schedule. They played the schedule that was given, and this is a good schedule. They can't help that USC was out. Was without Sam Darnold, who went to the NFL. Florida State's down. You know, they beat
Stanford
up.
Stanford was down.
They beat up on Syracuse. Stanford was down. You mentioned that. They beat Michigan. Like, they beat Virginia Tech. I mean, it's a good schedule. My only gripe is that they don't play that 13th game. And when they do get to the show, they get embarrassed.
Yes.
I mean, and I know the 2012 team has nothing to do with the 2018 team, but I'm just tired of seeing Notre Dame on a big stage. I'm tired of watching them physically get dominated. I mean dominated with teams with SEC caliber players. Because they got dominated by Ohio State a couple years ago. We know where Urban Meyer gets his players from.
The South.
Exactly. He recruits as if he's in the SEC. I'm just tired of watching Notre Dame look out, man. I'm tired of watching it.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Regardless, I get where Vol Nation is coming from, but they could have lost 100-0, and they still, by the criteria, which is more than the eye test, it's resume.
Do we even know the criteria anymore?
That's the problem. Is that
I thought it was the best four teams.
Well, they say it's about winning your conference. It's about not having any slip-ups and all these things. But then there's the factor of the eye test. So that's the real problem, is that we don't have a defined standard for what you have to meet, a defined criteria for what you have to meet in order to get to the playoffs.
Do we even know the criteria anymore? Oh, man. 865-255-03, B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Be right back.